Son, never stop learning.
Welcome to The Guns of August by Barbara W. Tuchman, a book that will permanently change how you understand why World War I happened and why it could not be stopped. Most people assume the war was triggered by a single assassination, but this book reveals how the real trap was set years earlier, hidden inside ceremony and alliance. Tuchman, a two-time Pulitzer Prize winner who wrote rigorous history for ordinary readers rather than academic specialists, makes that case with devastating clarity. The book opens not with gunfire, but with a funeral. The 1910 procession for King Edward VII of England, where nine reigning monarchs rode together through London. Tuchman uses this scene as both a structural metaphor and an analytical lens. It was, in her view, the last great assembly of the old dynastic order, magnificent and already doomed. The author argues that the assembled rulers, representing the Triple Entente and the Triple Alliance, masked a continent already organized for war beneath their shared grief. Many were blood relatives, descendants of Queen Victoria, yet their nations were locked in an escalating arms race. The surface civility of the funeral, Tuchman contends, was a final illusion of stability. The most prominent figure in her account of the funeral is Kaiser Wilhelm II, Edward's nephew, whose competitive posturing and erratic personality are sketched as symptoms of broader European instability. Even in mourning, Wilhelm's need for dominance was visible. Tuchman sees his behavior as a mirror of Germany's larger ambition to assert supremacy across the continent. The author's framing throughout these opening pages is one of dramatic irony. The reader knows what the mourners do not. The funeral was not merely the death of a king, but the symbolic end of an era. Tuchman argues the conflict of 1914 resulted from decades of alliance building, nationalist pressure, and military timetables, all visibly present that day, suppressed beneath ceremony. The Schlieffen Plan and France's Plan 17 had already taken on institutional lives of their own by 1910, and rigid mobilization schedules meant political improvisation would later become nearly impossible. The author's tone is elegiac but unsentimental. The pageantry is treated as evidence that Europe's ruling classes mistook the appearance of order for its substance. Tuchman's central argument is that the first 30 days of World War I were uniquely determinative, locking nations into a conflict none of them had anticipated or could control. Her preface makes the central argument plain. The first 30 days of World War I were uniquely determinative. Those weeks locked the belligerent nations into a conflict none of them had anticipated or could control. Tuchman is not writing a comprehensive war history, but a granular account of one pivotal month. Her author's note reinforces this commitment by assuring readers that every word attributed to a historical figure comes from documented sources, letters, diaries, official reports. The narrative's literary momentum, the author insists, does not come at the expense of accuracy. Tuchman positions the book as serious scholarship in an accessible form. The front matter sections together signal that her analytical lens will focus on human agency, institutional momentum, and the tragic narrowing of options. Once pre-existing military plans were set in motion, political flexibility collapsed. The author contends this narrowing was the true engine of catastrophe, not any single decision or actor. Tuchman's broader career reinforces why this argument carries weight. Her other works, from the Zimmermann Telegram to A Distant Mirror, share a consistent preoccupation with moments when miscalculation produced catastrophic consequences. The Guns of August belongs squarely in that tradition.